Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are so glad you've joined us today. We're a global ministry. If it's your first time tuning in, keep hearing that new people are finding us all the time, and that is really good. And we actually are not just on this radio station, 1340 AM. You can actually go to your computer, which is a wonderful thing, and you get really good reception at www.tantalk1340.com. Tantalk1340.com. And actually, you can see the video feed, too, and see us right here in the studio. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, the pastor of Beacon of Hope. My associate pastor, Jim Ellsbury, is right here beside me. You got your new Beacon of Hope shirt on.
Yes, I have
a new.
And
you look pretty cool.
Royal blue
Beacon of Hope Ministries
shirt.
Polo shirts. Yeah, we got a bunch of them that were bought this time. And any of you out there, if you ever want a Beacon of Hope shirt, just get a hold of us. And we're getting ready to order some new T-shirts, but these are polos that we just got. So kind of cool. And we're so looking forward to this show today. It's always fun to have you right here with me, PJ. Pastor Jim, PJ, everybody get it? And, you know, it's just fun to, because we just love talking the word, you and I. Don't
yes,
we?
Yes. For 40 years.
We have.
I've loved it.
And a little trivia about us, Jim, is that we graduated from the same university.
Just a few years different.
Yes, Ball State University in
Go
Muncie,
Cards.
Indiana.
Go Cards.
Yes. Yeah, so we didn't know each other then, and you're a few years younger than I am. But still, it's kind of cool that we're both Ball State grads.
It's almost like, you know, that first Sunday I came to Beacon.
Right.
That was one of the first things we found out. We were both from Indiana. We both went to Ball State. It's like, okay, could God have been any more clear about where I was supposed to go?
That's right. And from that first Sunday, really, we have worked very well together. That was 08. So I thank God for you. And you've been a constant right here in the ministry, working side by side with me for the faith of the gospel and carrying out what God has called us to do. And he's called us to do a lot. And in this year, 2014, it's going to be more than ever. The outreach from Beacon is expanding exponentially. I can't even say it from this year. All the new things that are going on. One new thing that's going on is we now have a licensed professional counselor on our staff, Angel Bosco, who is finishing her doctorate right now. But she is licensed, and if you want some professional counseling, she has an office, private office at Beacon, and sets up appointments, and her number is 727-501-6557. I'll give you that again in a minute if you want to grab a piece of paper. You call her for appointments. Don't call me. So call her, and she is licensed and excellent and very reasonably priced, taking insurances and things like that also. So, Angel Bosco, licensed clinical health, licensed mental health counselor, that's what it is, LMHC. And her number is 727-501-6557. Also today, PJ is here in the studio, so he's got the internet up, and when I'm here by myself and the radio team members call in, I can't do that because I can't monitor that and do all everything else, you know, at the same time. But it is up, and we are ready for your emails today or questions, comments, I guess I always say this, but I'm going to say it again. Or you can just write and tell us how cute we look. So, ha-ha. but anyway, you just write to my email address, which is pastor@bohmglobal.com. And that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's just easier than writing it all out, pastor@bohmglobal.com. And you may want to contact Pastor Jim after this show because you're going to hear a lot of interesting things. It's going to be a great show. His email is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. There you go. If you have a prayer request, we're going to talk about that later, prayers@bohmglobal.com. So we're excited about this show. We are in a series, PJ, that you and I have been teaching here for the last two or three weeks, as we started the new year, I guess, we started this series. And it's so weird because, and I mentioned today, I don't think I've ever taught a series just based on three chapters that goes on and on and on like it has already in the month of January. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Right. What, tell our listening audience why this is such an important section of Scripture.
Well, it's what's commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
And Matthew was a great one for writing down a lot of Jesus, what Jesus said. I mean, he does it in nice big blocks. And this is the first big block in his gospel where he writes down what Jesus said. And this is there's so much in those three chapters.
Crazy good.
Oh, it is crazy good. And, you know, there's, and it flows from beginning to end. There is a flow to it, and there's just so much in there. I think we could probably spend, another 4 weeks or so
at least. We could, yeah, there's so much.
Because it's one of those parts of Scripture where you can take a paragraph at a time and spend an hour talking about just one paragraph.
You can. And speaking of that, this Wednesday night in Bible study, you are going to be taking the Lord's Prayer, which is contained mm-hmm. in Matthew 6, right there, and really expounding on that. And it goes into fasting there. And
right.
we're going to tag team. Basically, you're going to do the teaching, but we are going to talk about the Lord's Prayer and fasting mm-hmm. this Wednesday night. Two very important subjects found in Matthew 6. So if you do not have a home church, and or if you have one that you can get away for a night and want to hear this Bible study on the Lord's Prayer and on fasting, join us Wednesday night at 7 at Beacon of Hope. So we are in a new location. It's so exciting. I just love going there, don't you? Mm. I mean, it's the best place we've ever been in all these years, and beautiful. It's large. It's twice the amount of room we had on Almerton. We are filling it up. We've filled it totally with furniture. It is absolutely a wonderful place to hang out and be. And don't you love it?
I do. It's really nice, too, because when we were more mobile, I guess.
Right, yes.
We had to tear up and
set
down.
When we were nomads and
Yes, when we were Bedouins in the desert. We had to set up and tear down and set up and tear down.
Right.
And in this new space, praise God, we've got a place for the sanctuary.
Right.
We've got a separate room for Bible study.
Right.
So we don't have to set up, tear down, any of that. And it's just nice.
Oh, it's just great.
It's
homey.
It's homey. It's very
kitchen,
homey.
Two big offices, storage room. We got a lot, and we just thank God for it.
Amen.
Drew and 19, basically, at the corner there, at that traffic light. You can either turn into Best Buy or right across the street, head north, around behind to Toyota, and it'll dump you out right in front of our plaza right there, and we're about halfway down on the right. Mm-hmm. Easy to find. Go to our website with exact instructions, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. We're going to start right now with a song. Do you pronounce her name Jackie or JC Velasquez?
I've heard Jackie.
Jackie. I have too, but it's spelled J-A-C-I. Jesus is. This is going to be a great song.
My prayers, you are my.
love this song. That's what Jesus is, the sweet love of my soul, the only one making me whole. Mm-hmm. I wrote down some of these words, Pastor Jim. He's everything to me, always beside me, constantly. Wow, I like that. You know, we try to play the new contemporary songs and occasionally throw in some of the older things, too, on the show. But we want to introduce the listening audience to the things that they're playing on Spirit FM and Joy FM and all of that. And this is a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, and it's all about who Jesus is.
That's right.
And Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is all about Jesus talking. It's all red letter in your Bible.
Yes.
Woo! Praise
and it,
God.
And, you know, one of the things Jesus said in the book of John was he came to show us the Father.
Yes.
And chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew really show the Father's heart.
Oh, amen.
You know, they really demonstrate what God's all about.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's a good way to put it. We're calling this series 4 G's for Kingdom Living. And Kingdom Living is all about living. It's Romans 14, 17. That the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. It's not about rules. It's not about that. It's not how you look or what you dress. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there are 4 G words in these 3 chapters. And I'm going to go ahead and give them to all of them right now, because we kind of not only talked about a couple of them, but
I was going to say she hasn't even done that in church.
No, I haven't. So here we go. Let's go to Matthew 5, the last verse. I'm going to get it right here in a minute. The last verse of Matthew 5, and it says this in the Message Bible. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Now, you would think that's one of the G's, but it's not. That's just an overall concept. Grow up. We're kingdom subjects. That's where, as I was reading this a few weeks back, God began to speak to my heart about 4 G's. You know how our phones, the 4G capability is a lot stronger, a lot more, it's able to do a lot more than a 3G phone, you know, or a 3G tablet. I just got rid of my 3G tablet, went to 4G, and I instantaneously have, when I put in an address, when I'm showing homes as a realtor, bam, immediately it's there. And pulling out of the driveway, it says, now turn right out of the driveway. I mean, it's like, it used to, my old 3G used to sit and spin. But anyway, with the 4G, it's so good because there, and that's really a metaphor for these 4 things that cause us to really grow up. So it says, live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you. Okay, then the other 2 G's, so graciousness, that's being full of grace, which we're going to talk about today, and this whole thing of being generous in our giving financially, but also generous with each other, giving forgiveness, which we're going to talk about today, that generosity. So being gracious, being generous. Number 3 is all about being genuine. And number 4, godly. We haven't got to those last 2 yet.
No, we haven't.
But we have been dealing with the genuineness all through chapter 5, don't you think, PJ? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's that whole chapter, he's talking about words. Be careful what you say. He's talking about, you know, if you don't hate, but yet you're angry and, you know, all of that. Don't you think that Jesus is all the way through the Sermon on the Mount talking about how to be genuine?
Well, genuineness and godliness.
Yes.
I mean, again, the things he talks about in these chapters is, you know, you've heard it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth,
right.
But I tell you, turn the other cheek. Mm-hmm. You know, just be, again, that one right there just covers them all. Graciousness, generosity,
yes.
Genuineness, godliness.
Right.
You know, just they're all through here, all
they
of
are.
That. And chapters 5, 6, and 7 are the way we're supposed to live. It's kind of like the instruction manual for Christians.
Amen.
This is God's expectation of how a Christian is to live.
Practical Christian living,
right.
Don't you think?
Right. Although on the surface, when you read it, it's the most impractical 3 chapters.
Why do you say that?
Because on the surface, it looks like it's impossible.
Right. It does look like it's,
you know,
impossible.
In fact, the verse you just read, most translations, in fact, the one I have, the New International.
We're in Matthew 5, 48.
Yeah. It says, be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Which,
well, and you know, if you just read that, you're thinking, all right, why did you even bother to put this in there? Because you know we're not going to be able to do it.
Right.
But Greek comes to the rescue again.
Amen. Which you and I both love that. You are a Greek scholar, so what does that say?
I don't like to say scholar.
Oh, but, I think you are, but okay. Anyway.
All right, I'll take that.
You're our Greek scholar.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, the Greek word there is teleos, which means the end. It means, and I have it even written down here, complete and fully mature.
Ah, okay, good.
So it doesn't just mean perfect, because we see that. People read this verse, and I know I did till I found out what the word meant. You know what that word was in the Greek? I saw it, and I thought, that's impossible. I know my nature too well. I cannot be perfect.
Right.
But I can be complete because... Paul writes in Colossians, in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form, and in him we are made complete. We are filled up in Jesus and fully mature. It's a growth process.
It's a growth process. You know, that's why he says here, grow up. It's a process of getting to that point where you understand these principles.
We start as babies.
Yeah.
But, you know, what would happen? I have a granddaughter.
And right.
You have granddaughters and great-granddaughters. And,
grandsons.
Grandsons. But think, if they stayed acting like a baby even when they're one.
Right.
If they acted like an infant.
Right.
But think, grandsons are in their teens now.
Yeah, they are.
Imagine if they were still acting like they were one.
Right, yeah.
Although I'm sure sometimes they might act that way. But imagine if they thought that if they acted that way. And it's the same thing spiritually. Mm-hmm. God stretches us and wants us to grow.
Yes.
To grow up in him.
Amen.
To become complete and fully mature.
Amen.
And a lot of that's contained in these three chapters.
But it's not perfection the way we think of perfection, like we do know
it's
wrong.
It's not sinlessness.
Sinlessness. Right. That is perfect right there.
We assume perfection is sinlessness, and that's not the case.
No.
You know, that's not, you know, none of us this side of heaven are going to be sinless.
No.
I mean.
We're going to have bad attitudes some days. We're going to say things we shouldn't. We're going to have a sharp tongue once in a while.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of this, all of this that Jesus talks about, because he gives us a remedy for that. Yes. And that's going to be found in chapter 6. So let's go down there a little bit, because I love this. Let's start with verse 6, Matthew 6:6. Easy to remember, 6:6. Here's what I want you to do. These are Jesus' words, remember all this. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Now, he has just, at the beginning of this chapter, gone into a big deal about people that are pretentious with their spirituality, PJ. And there are people out there that just make you sick with how, holier than thou they are, I guess. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. For those of you of our age who have seen the movie Godspell, I'm thinking of the parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector.
Right.
You know, because the way they did it in that movie, it was just what Jesus is talking about in the first part of chapter 6. You know, the Pharisees liked, not all of them, but some of them just really liked to show off.
Right.
And stand on the street corners and proclaim how much they gave to the poor, or say their prayers in public. And Jesus says in both cases,
pride and arrogance there, don't you think?
Well, and Jesus said in both cases, that's all the reward they're getting.
Right. Yeah.
Is what they get, you know, so people admire them, but that's it.
Yeah.
In both cases, Jesus said, when you do a good deed or when you pray, go away, go do it in secret. Because your Father, who's in secret,
Right.
Is going to see what you're doing in secret and reward you openly.
Amen.
And, you know, that's so true, because some people just like to kind of trumpet and say, oh, look at me, I'm so great. I gave this amount to the church. I gave this amount to the poor. Listen to my prayers. And Nan knows I have nothing against King James. I love King James.
Right.
But sometimes it's a little pretentious when people pray in Elizabethan English.
Because we don't speak in that.
Right. We don't speak in that anymore.
And, thee and thou and...
I mean, it's nice, but nobody...
We don't talk like that.
Right.
And that's why I started teaching out the Message years ago, PJ, and the NIV, and then New American Standard, of course, is a little better than the King James as far as breaking it down into modern language. But the NIV and the Message are really good about that, don't you think, as far as really in the terms that we talk and the words we use, you know? And, but, you know, Jesus makes a big deal here about, come on, people, don't be one of those on the street corner telling everybody, oh, I prayed for five people, they were all healed, and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not about that.
No.
Did we pray for people this morning, and did they get healed? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We had healings this morning.
We did, but we are not going to sit here and toot our horn.
Yeah,
it's all about Jesus, what he did. Yeah, He's the healer.
Yeah, it's not what we did.
No.
It's what Jesus did.
We simply obeyed. Call the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, lay hands on the sick.
And they shall be healed.
And they shall be healed. James 5:16. We did that today.
And God was true to his word.
Woo, glory.
And the glory goes to him. Now,
yes.
What Jesus is saying here is these people were doing it to get glory from other people.
Right.
You know, there's nothing spectacular about us.
No.
Except that we believe God's word and we obey it.
Amen.
We did what God said to do.
We carry it out. That's all.
And God was true to his word.
Yeah.
And, you know, praise God for that.
Signs and wonders. That's what it is when we step out in faith. And so, but Jesus is saying here, look, you think religious leaders out there, you think I don't notice that you're play acting? That you're being, we're getting ready to go to a play in a couple weeks, our church, and it's kind of cool. I love to go to theater, and we're going to go, in our plaza is the WC Players, which are right on the end of our plaza where we have our church, and so we're having a church outing there, and it's kind of cool, and I love theater. You love theater. We did theater in high school, both of us, and, you know, so this is fun, but Jesus is saying there's so many religious leaders who act like they are actors, like they are play actors, you know, like theater productions. And he goes, you think I don't notice that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, of course, the word there is hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
Which, you know, is...
Yeah, that's not a good word.
It's right out of Greek. And it is. It means a play actor. So it's somebody who has just putting up a pretense. It's not real.
Right.
You know... God and Jesus, you know, all through the Gospels, it says he knew their hearts, especially in the Gospel of John.
Yes.
He knew what was in their hearts.
Oh, amen.
He knows.
Yes.
And we're not, you know, you're not fooling God.
Right, right.
And that can be scary.
Right.
And there have been times in my life when I found it very scary, but it's also oddly comforting.
It is comforting.
Because God knows what a mess I can be, and he still loves me.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
He knows that I have a self-righteous, hypocritical streak, and he still loves me.
Amen.
You know?
But, you know, in all of this, it comes back to what's the attitude of our hearts? What's the motive of our heart? You know, regardless of the fact that maybe sometimes you feel like you can be that way that you just described, I know your heart. You have a heart after God. Okay? God knows your heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord, one of my favorite verses. For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his.
Well,
love that verse.
Right, and think of David.
Yes.
David had a heart after God.
Amen.
Scripture, you know, just repeatedly says that. And
amen.
He was a mess.
He was a mess.
You know, he slept with, he had a bunch of wives. That's an issue all in itself. And one of them he got because he just lusted after her, got her pregnant, had to do something, so he had her husband killed.
Right.
Okay, so not only was he an adulterer, he was a murderer. And yet, he still had a heart after God.
He had a heart after God.
That's one of those unfathomable things.
You know, it's interesting you just brought David up, because yesterday when I was kind of studying and preparing for today, God took me back to 1 Samuel 16:7. Okay? And I looked at this verse and didn't know at all that we would use it. I didn't use it in my sermon this morning. 1 Samuel 16:7, God told Samuel, because he was there to anoint the next king of Israel after Saul had become such a failure. And he had actually run through all of the sons of Jesse, and now Jesse has to go have his youngest son called in from the sheepfold up in the mountains where he's taking care of all the sheep. And God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7, looks aren't everything, because Samuel's going, wait a minute. Hey, these boys, these older boys, they look like kings. They're tall. They're good looking. They are the ones. I mean, people look at them and think, wow, that's a king, you know? And God says to Samuel, looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed with his looks and stature. I've already eliminated him. God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women look at the face. God looks into the heart. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that opportunity for that verse today. Praise God.
Well, and you know, you think about David. I mean, he tried to cover it up.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, we all are like that. Even, I mean, David still had a heart after God, but he was still in what Paul says, these, you know, clay jars that we have to live in.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, he slipped. But you know what? As soon as he was confronted, he did the right. You can tell a person who has a heart after God, because as soon as David was confronted, what did he do? He went and repented before God.
He repented.
You know, as soon as Nathan said, you know, Nathan told him that really cool parable about the little lamb.
Right.
And David said, well, that man should be, you know, that man should be punished. And Nathan, the prophet, said, you are that man.
You are that man.
And David's like, oh.
Uh-oh.
I've been found out.
Exactly.
And even then, you can kind of tell, because somebody who doesn't have a heart after God will maybe try and justify what they did, or, you know, ignore the prophet or punish the prophet or whatever. And what the first thing David did, he went and repented before God.
Oh, amen.
And that's how you know somebody has a heart after God. Yes, they may make mistakes.
Right.
But they repent.
Repentance means turning around and going the other way. And it's talking about a 180 turn, right? Mm-hmm. And I make a mistake sometimes and say 360, but I don't mean 360. That would bring you right back to the same place you just started with. Like in a roundabout. That's a 360. But at 180, you end up on the other side of that roundabout or that issue, and you're going, okay, God help me. I don't want to fall into that same mess again. I don't want to make those same mistakes. I want to have a heart after you, God. And you cry out to him in sincerity and truth, like David did. And David repented of his adultery, of the murder, of all of that. And God said, he's a man after my own heart.
Right.
Woo. Boy, that's a huge point. Which takes me, let's go to Matthew 6, verse 19. Let's skip over there, because it goes right with what we're talking about right now. We're hanging out in Matthew 6 today, if you just joined us. Matthew 6, 19. These are the words of Jesus. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Now, we're going to talk about this a minute, but living in Florida is not the same as living in Indiana, where we're from.
Amen.
In Indiana, we don't have to put our flour in a closed container, for instance, like, or in the refrigerator or someplace to keep it from being eaten or whatever. We can be a little, you know, more relaxed with things in Indiana, as far we don't have to deal with, lovingly, we call them cockroaches. Cucarachas, or anything like that. Palmetto bugs, we call them palmetto bugs, just to make it look better.
They're just big old flying cockroaches.
That's all they are, right? And la cucaracha. Anyway, so we have to protect our flour, sugar, I do anyway,
we put ours in
closed containers.
Empty coffee canisters.
Right. And it's closed containers. And, you know, I don't leave bread sitting out. I put it in the refrigerator just because of the humidity and whatever, et cetera. And so there are things we do differently. And like, not that flour and sugar and bread's a treasure, but we handle it differently because we know that there's a chance of something coming and getting it. Right? Like la cucaracha. Okay? So go on with that. Stockpiling treasure here in these verses and talk about that, PJ, if you will.
Well, I like, you know, it says, you know, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust, you know, corrupt and thieves can break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
In heaven.
And, you know, Jesus said, you know, nothing can get to it there.
Right.
So store up for yourself.
Protected against all humidity and la cucarachas?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
But, you know, I always found it interesting. Jesus didn't exactly say how to do that, you know. Okay, so how am I supposed to store up these treasures in heaven? And, you know, that's by doing everything that comes before this, you know.
Yeah.
Doing the things in secret. And again, it's a whole attitude, too, where, and he goes much more into that, you know, just following this.
Right.
You know, it's a whole attitude of not worrying about trusting in God.
Right.
And I think people miss that, especially, I mean, we tend to hold on to material things. Like that's, you know, I'll give up all my Bibles. You know, if God, seriously, if
all
God.
All 143 of his Bibles.
All 143.
144. I know. You just got a new one. Pink and raspberry and chocolate. They always are.
Look for those up, of you
right
on
there.
Video.
There it is. Raspberry and chocolate.
It's the 2011 version of the New International Study Bible.
And he loves raspberry and chocolate.
That's very. It looks very nice together.
Yes, it does.
Tastes
good, too.
Yeah. But, you know, it's hard because we tend to want to store up things that we can see.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Paul addresses this.
Buying too much stuff and
right
things we don't need. And
well, and or just when we have things, we tend to want to hold on to them.
Right.
And Jesus says no. You know, if someone asks you for a coat, give them your tunic also. Give them your shirt.
Right.
Give me your coat and your shirt.
Right.
You know, just what we have, it's a really hard concept for a lot of people, but all this stuff is on loan from God.
It is. It is.
You know, I mean, this isn't my Bible. It's God's Bible. If he tells me to give it away, I give it away.
Right.
And
I think a lot of times that's a whole new concept to a lot of people that our material possessions are really not ours. But when you live through the death of your parents, which I have, and a few years back having to deal with all of their stuff, and my two sisters and I, we loaded everything into my garage, which was very big. It was a big 2.5 car at that time. And then we started the sorting process. And at that point, Mom and Dad were still alive. So we would put Dad out in a chair in the garage and say, sort this stack. You know, he didn't do very well with that. He wanted to keep everything. You know, it was very hard to let go of memorabilia from other. They had traveled as missionaries around the world. Mm-hmm. So you got stuff from every country. You got all kinds of things that now my sisters and I have. But It when you go through an estate sale, let's call it that, where the parents are passing everything on because they're going to heaven, you know, and in that Dad was only 4 months away from heaven when he was sitting in the garage doing all that. Mom a few years later. But, you know, it's that letting go of that, the material things, very hard for most people. Don't you think, PJ?
Well, it gives us security. And I think that's a big issue. Where do we find our security? Is it in what we have?
Right.
Who we're in a relationship with, or is it in God?
Amen. Amen.
You know,
amen. And Jesus is saying here, stockpile your riches up in heaven. In other words, work on your relationship with God.
Right.
Okay? We tend to work on our human relationships a whole lot more than we work on our God relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm seriously, that's a dinger, because that is the truth, don't you think? We do. We are like, oh, what did he say? Or what did she say? Or, oh, whatever. You know, we fuss and you know.
It's, I'm going to step out on a limb here.
Go out on that
limb,
PJ.
But I really think, and I do honestly feel this, we can work and work and work on human relationships, but they're never going to find complete wholeness unless we've already worked on a relationship with God.
Totally and completely,
because,
I agree.
You know, God has to be there. He has to be a part of every relationship, not just a partner relationship or spouse relationship, but every relationship. God, you know, you have to listen. What's God telling me to do about this?
Right.
With your coworkers, with
right.
your friends, with your acquaintances, what is God telling you to do about this?
Right. We're going to do a song later in the show called Jesus at the Center. And really, that's it.
That's it.
Right there.
We can go home now.
Yeah. I mean, because he has to become the center of our lives. And I think so many people can give lip service to that. Yes, Jesus is my co-pilot. I've heard that said for years.
Okay. May I just interject something?
Please do.
I saw a bumper sticker. If Jesus is your co-pilot, move over.
That's good.
Because he should be the pilot.
He should be the pilot. Absolutely. And I think so often that's where we put him, in the co-pilot chair. And, God, I've got to, okay, help me with that. I made that decision.
We'll consult
help
him when it suits us. when we can't figure it out, then we go to, when we consult him. And I mean, I freely admit, I'm good at that. And I know in my heart, I ought to go to him with every decision, not because, you know, I'm tend to be analytical, but I can still really make a mess.
We all can. And I think that we get ourselves into such a habit of doing it our way. It's my way or the highway type thing.
Thank you, Frank Sinatra.
Yes. Doing it my way. And we forget that God's got a plan that's bigger than us. And we're going to talk about that after this next song. But I honestly feel like Jesus is trying to make a point here. Get your priorities right. You know, lay up treasure in heaven. And he says it very point blank and blatant here, where your treasure is.
There's your heart.
There's your heart. If your treasure is in your bank account and you're checking it constantly, and, oh, wow, oh, okay, I'm not going to buy a candy bar today because I really need to have that 5 cents more or whatever. 5 cent candy bars, that's a joke. That's from our childhood,
isn't it? I was going to say, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, now they're $1.55. Anyway, you know, when we get ourselves to the point that it is more important how much money we have in the bank, how much influence we're exerting over people, when we get into a control freak thing, where it's got to be our way, you know, and you know, as a father and me as a mother and grandmother and great grandmother, as just zoom right over that. But as all of that, the more of those children and grandchildren, whatever we have, the more we realize we don't have control over their lives. They need to live their lives and lead their lives mm-hmm. in the way that they feel best, but not only that, they need to lead it with God's direction, and that's the best advice we can give them.
Right.
Okay, let's do this song, and then we're going to talk about this more. Only Jesus, Point of Grace.
A sister breaks a promise, a leader tells a lie, a wife tells her husband it only happened just one time. A man knows it wasn't innocent how he came upon his wealth. A preacher looks in the mirror, says, how can I? heartbreak, a child that's never found. A family loses everything and their house burns down. An addict hits rock bottom, a couple calls it quits. A doctor tells his patient,
he's the only one that can heal that kind of pain. Boy, that's a very good song.
That's an incredible song.
Megan had mentioned this title to me, and Connie had put that song on the show a few months back, and I mentioned it to her yesterday, and she found it. Only Jesus. I mean, he's the only one. When we have these such difficult things that happen in our lives, and that song just really spells it out. You can't get much worse than some of that stuff that's going on, you know? It's just priorities in our lives. You know, PJ, that's what Jesus is talking about here, about stockpiling riches in heaven, you know? And I think this needs more explanation. I think that a lot of us don't understand how to do that on a daily basis. Do you want to?
Well, one of the things that came to me before the last song was one of the treasures we store in heaven are those people whose lives we get touched. I was thinking of the song by Ray Bolts, Thank
right.
You.
Right, yes, great song.
That came into my head.
Yeah.
You know, we may give to a missionary. I know
right.
that's in that song.
Right.
And somebody gets saved because of that, or we may pray for somebody, maybe on our prayer request line, and for salvation, and they get saved.
Right.
You know, that's storing up treasure in
Amen.
Heaven also. Every prayer, every confession of the word.
Right.
And every good deed we do in secret.
Right.
That's storing up treasure
Amen.
In heaven.
The finances we plant into God's kingdom. Like, we want more financial partners on this radio show in this new year. You know, God has always provided. We're in our seventh year. But we want people to have the blessing that they receive from planting finances in good soil.
Right.
Because this is good soil. It's all the Word of God.
Right.
It's not just a bunch of opinions. It's the Word of God week after week after week.
Right.
Plant your finances in good soil.
And that's storing up your treasure.
Yes.
In heaven.
Yes.
And, you know, Jesus says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. Is my heart in heaven?
Right.
Or is my heart down here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much in the world that the world and the flesh and the devil try and tie us to this place.
Absolutely.
This world, this visible world. And yet Jesus says, no, your heart has to be in heaven.
Right.
Because that's, you know, that's where your treasure is going to be.
Right.
And if your heart's in the right place, your treasure's just going to follow. You know, that treasure is just going to follow right along.
Okay, so let's translate that into our daily living. And we do that by going on down in chapter 6, because I think Jesus has explained this pretty well. Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on with verse 22. You want to read 22 through 24 and kind of tell us about that? We're in Matthew 6.
I'm so glad, because I like these verses.
I do too.
Now that I know what they mean. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Trying to read dramatically there.
That was good.
But, you know, in the Greek, and it also has to do with the Jewish background.
Right.
We think of, okay, if my eye is healthy, if it's full, if it's, you know, not all gunky and, you know, cataracted and all that. Most people think that's what Jesus is talking about, but that's not it.
Mm-mm.
Talking about being generous,
right,
and being stingy.
Right.
You know, if your eye is healthy, if you've got a generous eye,
right,
if you're giving, then your whole body's going to be full of light.
Right.
But if you're stingy, again, going right back to these scriptures right above here, where's your heart?
Where's your treasure?
Where's your heart? And Jesus said, you know, if you're just going to be that way, you're just going to be in darkness.
Oh, I know.
And I'd much rather walk in light than walk in darkness.
I've known, you know, in the ministry, as much as you and I've been in the ministry all these years, I have seen and you have seen so many people that don't tithe, who give maybe a few cents or a $5 check, which, you know, there's no way that could be their tithe. If that was their tithe, then, you know, they haven't made any money, you know, that week at all whatsoever, you know. But, you know, it's that attitude of the heart of, oh, you know, I don't want to give to the church, or people, ministers abuse, you know, money and all of that. And yeah, there have been many people through the years that have abused people's giving.
Who, even pastors, yes, I agree.
That still
have,
do.
Have stored up treasures for themselves on earth.
Right. I mean, I have a hard time with the Rolls Royce people that drive those and minister and all that. And I think a lot of us have a hard time with that. But the bottom line is, it's really about planting our finances, being generous with what we've been given, into the spreading of the gospel.
Right.
That's when your light, when your eye is clear and you see the needs in front of you, and you see that people need to hear the word of God, like on this show, or people need to, you need to help a church or ministry that's helping the homeless, or, mm-hmm, or whatever the case may be. There's so many ministries and needs out there that you can give to that will be a blessing,
right,
to people. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about here.
Right. And if I'll make a quasi-political comment.
Ooh.
Well, a lot of people are concerned, and rightly so, about government spending.
Sure.
Get that. I get that. They're just, you know, it's out of control. And if the church did what the church did in the book of Acts,
right,
we wouldn't need half the help from the government to support the poor and needy.
Right, exactly.
Because that's exactly what the church did
that's
in the
exactly
book of Acts.
Right.
They had to appoint deacons to do it.
Yeah, and they fed the widows, and they fed people, and they provided clothing, and they shared meals in their homes, and all of that, that should be the ministry of the church. And instead, it seems like in some ministries that the money goes to make somebody rich, you know, and that's not what it's about.
Well,
and that's Jesus clearly talks about that here.
Right. And the church as a whole has not been doing what's in here.
Right.
And because of that, we kind of gave up that role,
right,
to other people. And that was a mistake.
Right. Good point. You know what? That is something that should spark some questions or comments here. The internet, we've got our website or our email up. So you can, if you want to comment on that, we will read your comment on air. Keep it clean or whatever. But we will do that. And it's pastor@bohmglobal.com.
Right.
Write a comment, write a question if you want to get in on this discussion. We're in Matthew 6. Now, you know, Jesus talks here about the importance of really loving God and worshiping him. And he says at the end of verse 24, you can't worship God and money both.
Right. No one can serve two masters. And that kind of sums up this whole section.
Doesn't it?
You can't serve two masters because either you're going to love the one and hate the other, or you're going to love the second and hate the first.
Right.
You can't love God and money. The two just are...
And how that is interpreted into our daily lives, or let's say demonstrated in our daily lives.
Well, Paul says the love of money is the root of all kinds
of evil. It's the root. It's not money.
Not money, yes. No. And everybody says, oh, it's money. No. It's the love of money. It's making money an idol in your life. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Don't make money an idol. Because if you do, then it replaces God. And of course, he follows that up right here in the next section. What happens when you do that?
Right.
Because money is, it comes and goes. We saw that in 2008.
We sure did.
You know,
yeah.
It went.
It did. And so often we feel like our worth is measured by how much money we have in the bank account, you know, or how many stocks and bonds we have, or how much security we have, or all of that. And Jesus is saying, that's not what it's about. You are more, let me back up and rephrase that. What Jesus is talking about here is one of our four G's, generosity. And as we give and we are generous, it comes back in so many ways. And as we bless others individually and bless the ministry of the word through ministries that are teaching and preaching the word, as we do that diligently and consistently, we are so blessed financially and in all other ways too.
Right. Yeah. And again, it's where's your heart?
Right.
Because if your heart's in the right place, then you will give financially. You'll
right.
give your time. You'll give yourself
right.
to God.
Yeah.
And listen and be obedient. And that's what he wants. That's
right.
the bottom line, is being obedient.
Well, and let's go back to the generosity thing, because it's not just being generous with our finances. Let's go up to verse 14 in Matthew 6. In prayer, this is Jesus talking, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. We have to be generous with our forgiveness,
yes.
PJ.
I think that's one of the hardest verses in the Bible. I mean, it's so hard. And I, you know, I've not had, well, we watch a lot of shows on ID and, you know, all the crime shows. And so many times, and I've not had anybody in my family murdered. So, and I'm not making a judgment.
I have had my uncle. Okay. Here in St. Pete, which some people probably remember about, Quebec in 74.
Wow.
Bad situation. Mafia got him.
Oof.
It was very bad.
But, you know, I hear like relatives saying, I can never forgive this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart goes out to them. Mm-hmm. I understand the pain.
Right.
But it's also, I think back to this verse. Oh, honey, you got to.
You have to. You have to forgive regardless. And, you know, that's interesting that you bring that up. And in our family situation, my aunt and my cousin had a very, very hard time with any kind of forgiveness, because an untimely death at a younger age and something that was not something deserved, quote unquote, I mean, you know, didn't cause it as something to make that happen, just was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, it's hard for people to understand when they lose a loved one to something like that. And you're right. My aunt and my cousin went to death row and watched the guy be executed. And felt okay about that. And I had such a hard time, even the thought that they would want to see that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's where they were coming from. Forgiveness was not on the table. That was not something that they were at that time able to do. Now, whether they have since, my aunt has gone on to be with the Lord. I don't know about my cousin, but, you know, those are things that people struggle with, this thing of forgiveness, especially when it's something that is so heinous as a murder in a situation that was undeserved.
Mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, and, you know, we'll
not
get
the murder is ever deserved.
No.
So I don't know even why
I
said it that way.
On Wednesday night, you know, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Man.
Hard.
Just what are you expecting out of me, God?
But he says right here, if you don't forgive others, I'm not forgiving you. Now, that is very, very strong, clear cut.
That's what I said. It's one of the hardest sayings.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hardest verses in the entire Bible.
Forgiveness does not mean you agree.
That's right.
With what was done to you. Forgiveness means you let it go. They don't owe you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When I learned that concept of forgiveness, I was probably late 20s, struggling with a very unhappy marriage situation and whatever, and had a hard time in doing that, forgiving. And an older lady of the church ministered that concept to me over and over again until I got it so deeply rooted in my heart. It does not, forgiveness does not mean we agree with what was done. It just means they don't owe us. They have no debt to collect.
Amen.
Okay? Let's go to station ID, and we're going to talk more, PJ and I, right here today on Living the Good Life.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Well, welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Pastor Jim, my associate pastor. We love doing the radio show, don't we, PJ? Just fun, fun, fun. I look forward to it all week long. And we have the most wonderful engineer in the whole world.
Oh, yeah.
And he's so cute, too. And he's a new daddy. And so that's exciting, too. So Cedric is wonderful. And he has a beautiful little daughter. And, guys, it is such a joy to be on the air with you every week. 2-hour show. People say, how do you do 2 hours? We could go on and on. 2 hours. When we first started this in 07, it was a 1-hour show. That lasted about, I'm thinking it lasted about 3 months at 1 hour. And we just kept asking for more airtime and finally bumped it to 90 minutes. And then a couple years later, bumped it to 2 hours. And so it's 2 hours every Sunday afternoon. And live, if you miss the show, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We've got not all the shows, because this is show number 354 today, PJ. But we have about 275 or 276 shows on our website. We have a big server. And so we've got them all there. All you have to do is go there and listen to these shows. Tell people to go and listen, and it will introduce them to the ministry at Beacon and what we believe and what it's all about. And so important to learn the Word of God. That's what we're talking about today.
10 more shows, and it'll be the 7-year anniversary, 8-year.
It'll be the 8-year anniversary. Is that, wait, 07? Yeah, 7-year anniversary, 7 to 7.
Yeah.
14, 7th-year anniversary. Yeah, we're in our 7th year. Yeah, that's right. We're almost there in April. We'll have to have a big deal that day, celebrate the 7th year. So that's kind of exciting. We love Dave and Lola and everybody here at the station, 1340 AM, Tan Talk. It's cool. And it's just a joy to be able to share the Word of God in freedom and liberty week after week after week, play the songs we want to play, and talk about the Lord in the way we get to, Pastor Jim. It's just fun to be able to share God in this format.
Mm-hmm.
Look forward to it.
Me too.
Okay. Internet's up. You can write us prayers, pastor at bohmglobal.com. Speaking of prayers, tell them about the prayer line, PJ.
We have a prayer ministry at Beacon of Hope. We invite you to send your prayer requests to us. We will send them back out, myself and then Carol in Georgia, whoever picks up the prayer request. We'll take your prayer request. We will write a prayer so that everybody's praying the same thing in unity. And then we send it out to our prayer team, which is scattered basically across the country. So please do that. We have seen miracles. We've seen answered prayers. And I do keep track of those here. In my, you know, when God answers your prayer, please let us know, because I do save those responses in a special folder. So, you know, in one of my little subfolders, just so we know that, you know, we have a record of what God's doing.
Because
I think that's important that we set those markers.
Yeah.
And if you want to be on the prayer team, You just write again to prayers at bohmglobal.com. With your prayer request, if you want to be added to the prayer team, just make sure you leave us your email address that you want to be on the prayer team, and we'll make sure we add you.
Absolutely.
So
cool, isn't it?
It's very cool.
Yeah, very you and cool. Carol do a great job of sending out those prayers with a prayer, and it's great. It really is. Mm-hmm. So we welcome you to use that. Listen to this song by another one by Jackie Velasquez, I Will Rest in You. Rest in you. And we need to do that, casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And God's just been ministering that concept to me through a difficult week that I've had, just casting the burden, the care, the problem, the frustration onto him. And I think in Matthew 6 here, Jesus is really talking about this, don't you think?
What a lead in.
What a lead in. Isn't it perfect? I mean, thank you, Connie. Great song. Anxiety, stress, and worry, and fear absolutely drag us down. And the devil is such a master at planting the seeds, the suggestions in our mind. That rattle bang, I was playing a tambourine today. But that, I mean, you know, just what's the word I'm looking for? That noise, you know, the noise in our head. Who do you think you are? You know, who do you think God's going to hear you? You know, all kinds of condemnation, stuff that the devil does. And he's a master of suggestions.
Right.
Okay. And Romans 8:1 says there is now near that.
There is therefore now
no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Psalm 103 says he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love and his loving kindness toward those who love him and follow him. And so, you know, when you repent of something, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just
to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse us. Forgive us. Cleanse us. But it starts with if we confess our sins, that repentance that we talked about in the first hour. Mm-hmm. If you missed the first hour, you need to go back and hear it on our website after sometime after tomorrow. We'll be there. And I believe that with all of this, Jesus is trying to get us to get our minds on him and trust him. I think the big word for 2014 is trust. That's it. Years ago in 19, oh gosh, this has been a long time. It's going to date me. Let's see. My son Mark was born that Christmas of 77. So this must have been 76. So that's a long time ago. My ex-husband and I and two other couples started a singing group. And my ex-husband plays a beautiful saxophone, and we had piano, we had drums, we had lead guitar, we had it all. And we traveled over about three states every Sunday night. I don't know if I ever told you this. On Sunday nights, we would go to a different church, you know, as we were asked to come. The name of our group was The Trust Company, okay? And I've always, and we had cut an album, I've got it at home, and we have always...
I think we need to use that music.
Yeah, I don't think so. It'd be really dated. But, you know, it's good music because some of it was home written, you know, mm-hmm. stuff we wrote. But the whole idea was the trust company. And God just reminded me of that this weekend through some difficult things I'm going through, that it's all about trust. And it goes clear back to that first singing group ministry of clear back in the 70s, where that was our name, the trust company. And that's it for this year. That's it for 2014.
Well, and it's funny, well, not funny, but it's kind of cool, is that, okay, I have the latest update for the New International Version, okay. And a lot of times where in the older versions, it would say believe.
Right.
This version says trust, and I know, because you know me, I've even got, like, Jewish New Testaments, like, from the, you know, Messianic publishers.
Yes, you do.
They use the word trust, and it just hit me as we were sitting here.
Wow.
Believe, the word believe, so many people can just make that into some sort of mental assent.
Yes.
Of a set of doctrines or a set of beliefs. But when you say trust, which is really what the word believe means... It's trust, and it means, you know, I'm placing my trust in you. I'm just kind of relaxing. I'm resting in you, okay? I am resting in you. Remember those trust walks?
We just played that song, I Will Rest in You.
And remember those trust walks?
Yeah.
Where you would rest in the other person and pray they held you up.
Caught you, yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, I did that, and that gave me practice for church.
Yeah, there you go. Sometimes people can't stand up.
You're right, but... You know, it's important because that's the whole thing is trust. And, you know, for me, that's stretching because, you know me, I'm just a big stickler on those big old religious words. And yet God just you're sitting here, gave me that kind of rhema about trust is a better word because it means you're just kind of relaxing.
Resting in him.
You're resting in God and you're just allowing him... you know, to do whatever has to be done. Right. And I'm putting my faith, my trust in God.
Right.
Not just in a set of what I know about God. I'm putting it in the person of God.
In the person of God.
And the other thing is, you know, in the word comes from the Greek pistos, and it went into Latin as fides.
Okay.
Okay. Which... is like Semper Fide, the thing for the Marines.
Right.
But also, what do a lot of people call their dog? Fido.
Fido.
Because in Latin, that word means to sink your teeth into something.
Whoa.
Like a dog.
Whoa.
You know, you're sinking your teeth into God, basically.
Praise God.
And you're holding on and you're not letting go. That's
Woo!
What trust is.
Amen.
Is holding on and not letting go.
There you go. Some of you have seen our website that I have written three books, and I'm working on my fourth one right now, and it is entitled Strength for the Fight. And it's coming along really good. It's going to be out this year. And go ahead.
You don't mean this Christian walk is some sort of fight,
It
do
is
you?
A fight. It is a fight. It so is a fight. But, you know, in the second book that I wrote, I dedicated it in the front to my grandchildren. at the time, the four of them. Now there's more. But Proverbs 3, and I use this little scripture out of the Message Bible, and I put it in the front of my second book. And by the way, if you're interested in any of my books, just go to our website and you can order them there. We'll get them out to you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But I love the way the Message Bible, I grew up memorizing it in trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But I love this in the Message Bible, and this is the way I wrote it in my second book for my grandchildren. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. And everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. Don't you love that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So back to Matthew 6. Now, Jesus goes into this whole thing about quit being so cotton-picking worried all the time.
And it follows right along with this whole conversation that we've had.
Yes.
As he says, you know, therefore, I tell you, don't worry. Don't worry. And he goes on.
Where are you? What verse?
I'm in chapter 6, verse 25.
Matthew 6, 25.
Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or about your body, what you'll wear.
Don't we get so hung up on all that?
Well, we might think, well, you know, if I'm going to be hungry, that's a legitimate concern. And yet, later on, Jesus says, your Father knows what you need.
Right.
Again, it's that trust
right.
in God. And having trust in a set of beliefs about God mm-hmm. is not going to work.
Right.
Not in this case. You have to trust in your Father
right.
and have that kind of relationship with him. Because then you
yes.
just know he's going to provide. I mean, there's that scripture I just love to quote it from King James.
Go ahead.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken
Woo,
nor a seed out begging
yes.
for bread.
Yes, amen.
And yet, unless I really believe that God's my Father, I can quote that verse till I'm blue in the face and I'm still going to be hungry. But if I know that I have a loving Father
right.
who wants the best for me and,
right.
and I love him and I have a relationship with him, I can quote that verse and just say, Father, you know, you wrote this.
Right.
I'm depending on you to provide for me. I've never
Absolutely.
Seen the righteous forsaken.
Yes.
And I can hear people now saying, well, I'm not righteous. I'm a sinner. No. If you're in Jesus, you have the righteousness of God. So you can quote that for yourself.
Right.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed, nor their children out begging for bread.
Amen. So it's a matter of choosing to believe what God has said through his son, Jesus, being God, saying this stuff about our daily needs. We get hung up on this right here. I think so many people think that, you know, well, God doesn't, he doesn't want me to have nice things. It's not about that.
Right.
It's not about that at all. God doesn't care if you have nice things, nice car, nice furniture. That's fine. He doesn't want that to be the center of your universe. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we're talking about. We got somebody that's written in, don't we?
Maria.
Yeah.
Maria says, I heard it said, and I believe it to be true, that when we forgive, that we forgive not only because Jesus commands us to, but so that we can have peace about a matter.
Amen.
So that we can go on with our lives. Oh, amen. That
amen.
Is so true.
Yes.
And maybe that's also a reason why God commands us to, mm-hmm. in addition to doing it so that he will forgive us when we need forgiveness. That is so true, Maria.
So true, Maria.
Thank you.
Thank you for writing that.
And
yes.
That's so true because, and I meant to actually say it earlier, we're not, you know, there's that song by Matthew West, which I love, Forgiveness. Everybody go out and listen to that song. It is wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
But we bind ourselves up. And Maria, you pointed it out. We can't really get on with our lives and move on with what God wants us to do because we're stuck back here in the past because unforgiveness ties us to the past.
Totally, it does.
And Maria, you're so right. We can't move on
right.
unless we let it go. Then we can move ahead. Then we can move forward.
They don't owe me anymore.
Exactly.
They can't make it right. They can't, you know, it's just, that's where we got to go. Thank you for sharing that with us, Maria. And it's not just this issue of possessions. It is also the issue, and she's brought that, her comment has brought that right back front and center. It's also the issue of past hurts, resentments, and things that have caused bitterness in our hearts that keep us all bound up in anxiety and worry and fear. You know, what if I have to have a encounter with that person? What or what are they thinking of me? You know, anxiety, you know, worry. How is this ever going to get resolved? And I want them to come and tell me that they're sorry. And you know.
And again, I think a couple of things. Example from my own life. My first partner passed away and was very bitter about, you know, had HIV and very bitter about it and did not want to see me and basically, you know, cut me and most everybody else that he knew off. And I could have held on to that. And sometimes, you know, like you mentioned this morning in the sermon, sometimes that little tambourine starts a rattling.
Yeah.
Something will make me think of him. And I can feel it sometimes. Like, no, I'm not going back there.
Absolutely not.
I've forgiven.
Amen.
There's no way now, obviously, that, you know, that can ever be made up for. So, okay, I'm just going to move on.
Right. And it's a decision.
And it's not an emotion. Some people think they have to get all emotional.
No. It's a decision.
Like love, it's a decision.
Right.
You know. You
choose to let it go.
You
choose to hold on to it.
And if you, I know we just got through Christmas. I'm sorry, I'm preaching here.
No, you go right ahead.
I think of one of my favorite, okay, the 1951 version of A Christmas Carol with Alastair Sim.
Oh, my.
The absolute best version of that, of okay. Dickens' Christmas Carol, I think is. But I think of Jacob Marley.
Yes.
The, you know, the ghost of Jacob Marley with all those...
Right.
You know, the chains and the ledgers and all those, you know, that he was bound with.
He was bound up
That's
by him.
Why
right.
worry and unforgiveness
Amen.
And fear and anxiety do to us.
Yes.
We forge those chains.
Right.
And Jesus is the only one that can cut those chains away.
Amen.
And by just, you know, unforgiveness becomes just, it. And think of the, you know, the old ball and chain, it just holds us to the past.
Exactly.
It chains us to the past, and we can only go so far.
And a lot of times, that whole set of circumstances that's weighing us down, causing anxiety, bitterness, unforgiveness, is in the center of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's what consumes us. I mean, hate consumes so many people. You know, unforgiveness consumes people, you know, and drives them to the point of just... doing awful things and acting terrible because they have not resolved things that have happened in the past. We see it all the time. We see it with these shootings. We see, you know, crazy things going on in our world, but a lot of it is just fueled by hate. It's fueled by unforgiveness. It's fueled by lack of tolerance, you know, and accepting people where they are, you know, which is a perfect segue to this next song, Jesus at the Center by Israel Houghton and New Breed.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world.
God, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. And you know, PJ, that's what Jesus is trying to get us to see in Matthew 6. Matthew 6:33 is one of the most quoted verses in the Bible. Do you want to read it in your translation?
Or perhaps I should sing it.
We could. Seek ye first
the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And his righteousness. And
that's from our campus crusade days, PJ.
Yeah, that's from those old, when we were Jesus freaks. When we were Jesus freaks. So that, you know, that kind of
our hippie days.
Yeah. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Again, Jesus at the center. I mean, Jesus talks about, okay, why are you worried about, you know, your clothes or your what you're going to eat? Jesus said all that worrying is not going to add an inch to your height.
Right.
It's not going to do any good for you.
Right.
And he said, why do you worry about what you're going to wear? And I love the example. I can just see him plucking up a flower and saying, consider this.
Right.
Even Solomon, with all his fine robes,
woo!
Was not dressed this well.
Yeah. And there is such beauty in flowers, in wild flowers, mm-hmm. which he talks about here in Matthew 6.
Right.
He created them. I love it. And he said, they're out there all over the field. A lot of times, nobody ever sees them. They're there just mm-hmm. to adorn the beauty of the earth, you know?
Well, God sees them.
One of my favorite movies is Color Purple. Do you remember that from clear back in 1985? Mm-hmm. And that whole field of purple, you know, and just all that, how God creates these beautiful colors, landscapes, just gorgeous. Go ahead with your thought.
Jesus said, aren't you worth more
right.
than this? Why are you worried about what you're going to eat? God feeds all the birds. He's certainly going to feed you. You're worth more than the birds.
Didn't he invent pizza?
Praise God, yes.
Love pizza. Yeah, there you go. But I mean, seriously, that's so true.
It goes back to trust. Who's your father? Worry's a pretty horrible father.
Right.
Anxiety's a very horrible father.
Hey, it's so many people.
Fear is a horrible father.
Enmeshed in anxiety and fear.
Who's your father?
Right.
God the Father is right. He's Abba. He's my dad. Okay?
Yeah.
He's my father.
Yeah.
And we have the promise here. He's going to clothe me. He's going to feed me. All I have to do is trust.
Right.
I just need to trust him. And it says if you seek first God's kingdom, that
seek
righteousness.
First. That's in there.
That righteousness,
it?
Peace, and joy. And his righteousness.
Yeah.
Okay? Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so the righteousness, the peace, and the joy, and God's righteousness. And I mentioned it before. People are, well, how do I get God's righteousness? In Christ alone.
Amen.
In Jesus alone. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin who knew no sin.
Amen.
That we could become the righteousness of God in him, in
Amen.
Jesus.
And it's not talking about perfection. You mentioned that earlier in the show, and I like that you brought that out.
Yeah.
It's not that. That's not what righteousness is. It's right standing with God.
Right. Yeah. Righteousness is your standing with God.
And right.
Whether you like it, it's going to sound funny, but whether you like it or not, you're righteous if you're in Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. You may not act like it. You may not feel like it.
Right.
But I guarantee you, if you start confessing it, mm-hmm. you're going to act like it, and mm-hmm. you will feel like it.
Right standing with God, not perfection.
Right,
right standing with God. That's righteousness.
Because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
I have a right relationship. There's God. I'm reconciled to the Father.
Right.
God's not mad at me anymore.
Right.
I don't have to. God's not holding anything against me because the blood of Jesus washed it all away.
Ooh, amen, amen. And because of that, we rejoice because we, as we seek him and his kingdom and his righteousness and being in right standing, seeking to be in right standing all the time. So when we mess up, when we get into doubt and anger and fear and anxiety, and when we pop off and say something we shouldn't, or we find that we are not able to forgive somebody that day, and we are, you know, just, you know, one of those kinds of things.
Pastor, which scripture should we go to?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think 1 John 1:9.
1:9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. But it starts with if.
Right. It's conditional. We don't have to.
No.
You don't have to confess your sins, but I guarantee you, you'll be miserable after a while.
Well, there's that yucky feeling down on the inside when you're harboring resentment, when you're harboring bitterness, when you're mad at somebody, when you won't let something go and forgive. It doesn't feel good. It feels like the creepy crud in your stomach when you ate something bad that you shouldn't have eaten.
And it's not a pleasant.
It's not a pleasant feeling. And that's because we are designed to be, as when we become saved Christians, when we give our heart to the Lord, then what comes natural for us now shifts. Mm-hmm. There is a divine shift. And what we want is peace.
Right.
We want joy. We want right standing with God. We want the kingdom of God living. That's Romans 14:17. Mm-hmm. It's not what you eat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
Amen. Well, I thought we were talking just a second ago about what it feels like not to confess your sins.
Right, so let's talk about that.
The verse is in Psalm 32.
Oh, I love that, David.
You know, it starts out real nice. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven.
Right.
Whose sins are covered. Verse 2, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, mm-hmm. and in whose spirit is no deceit.
Right.
Now notice, David obviously wrote this after that whole Bathsheba thing.
That whole Bathsheba thing.
But, verse 3, when I kept silent, and I've been there, I can attest, this scripture is true to the core.
Yes.
When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. You know?
So true.
When you're spending so much energy on hatred, on unforgiveness, on anxiety, on fear, on worry, your strength is sapped.
It is. It is,
you know,
totally
sapped. Because you're spending so much time and energy trying to figure out how to get out of this instead of, well, we'll just read the next verse.
Go on.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Oh, yes.
You know, David was saying here, you know, even though, and this is, you know, this is what happened after Bathsheba. So, you know, he knew he'd done wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, you know, all day long your hand was heavy upon me. And I just kind of picture, you know, you just kind of feel pressured.
To make it right.
To make it right.
Take care of it.
And when you know you're not where you ought to be, when you know you're out of fellowship with God, that's so perfect. But then David says, I could have had a repentance.
Could have had a V8.
I could have had a V8. I acknowledge my sin to you, and you forgave me.
And you forgave me.
But you acknowledge. I mean, again, confess.
Yes.
In the Greek means to say the same thing as you're saying, God, I agree with you. This was wrong.
This was wrong.
This
That's
was a
repentance.
Sin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In the Message Bible, we are in Psalm 32 now, 1 through 5, and I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. For some of you out there need to hear this. It says this, count yourself lucky. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate's wiped clean. Verse 2 of Psalm 32. Count yourself lucky. God holds nothing against you. and you're holding nothing back from him. When I kept it all inside, this is what you're talking about a minute ago, and my bones turned to powder. Whoa. My words became day-long groans. The pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. Then I let it all out, and I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. Suddenly, the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved, and my sin disappeared. You know, I love the AA program and the Al-Anon program, the 12 steps, because it brings you to a point of humbly, you know, confessing my failures and my shortcomings. Mm-hmm. You know, that the AA program brings you to repentance. If you see it correctly and do it, mm-hmm. it really leads you straight to God. Okay. Because in our own strength, we can't fix these things in our lives that we so mess up, you know, and that's where the anxiety, the worry, what if somebody finds out what I've done? Oh my, what if somebody knows exactly what I'm like or whatever the case may be? It just drives us crazy, you know?
And yet God knows us even better than we know ourselves and better than anyone else is ever going to know us.
He so knows us.
And he still loves us. Mm-hmm. Now that just blows my mind.
He was saying that to us today, that how much he loves us. And I think that it's something we need to hear a lot. I mean, people love to be told they're loved, mm-hmm. you know. My children and I, we have that kind of relationship. And a lot of times when we hang up, now they're adults, but a lot of times when we hang up, I love you. But usually I initiate it, okay? And last night, I had this talk with my oldest son. And before we hung up, he said, Mom, I really love you. And, you know, it's usually me saying it, and then he goes, I love you too, you know? But when that kind of thing happens, and you realize that you really are loved, and that's how God loves us, PJ. He loves us so much, he initiates it.
Right.
Oh, I love you, my child. I love you.
When we were still helpless.
Yeah.
God sent his son.
Yeah.
You know? And I was thinking what you were saying about telling each other that you love them. I mean,
right.
Current relationship I'm in, yeah, we got issues.
Yeah.
But we've never stopped saying that.
Right.
And I believe we talked on Wednesday about the power of words.
Yes, the power of words.
And that's really, you know, it just hit me. Right. You know, that's really important. Yes. I believe that's what keeps people together.
Yes.
In communication, because you're not, you know, it's not I love you, but it's just I love you.
Yeah.
I've made that choice. I agape right. you.
It's a decision. Back to that. It's a decision. I love you.
And you're confessing that. You're making that your confession.
Right.
And yeah, it happens.
Right.
That's what happens. And,
right.
you know, I can, and I see long-term relationships, and I'll bet you every one of those people in long-term relationships is telling the partners, so there's a lot of I love you going back and forth.
Sure.
Because that's just,
yeah,
that kind of helps you to keep it glued together. So
my dad was like that with my mom and my mom with my dad, and they were married 61 years. And there was all of that verbal stuff, you know, I love you. Oh, isn't she beautiful? You look so beautiful. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so words, the power of words, which we really delved into that last Wednesday night, but Proverbs 18:21, words kill, words give life.
Right.
They are fruit or they're poison. You choose.
Well, and God, creation, and God said, and it was.
Right.
And God said, and it was.
Yeah.
And he gave that, we're in his image. Right. He's given that same authority
right.
to us.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of power in what we
right.
say. And
absolutely.
we can choose to say, you know, to God. I kind of want to focus on that for a second. Just, we need to tell God we love him.
Amen.
And the Bible is his love letter to us. And
amen.
Sometimes, like he did this morning, he'll speak to us in a, you know, in a word
prophetic
of prophecy.
Word, yeah.
But, you know, you can't help but read the Bible And see God, you're blind if you don't see God's love.
Well,
I'm sorry.
If nothing else, there's John 3:16, which we quote all the time on this show. For God so loved the world. That's all of us. That he gave his only begotten son. There's that giving. There's that generosity right there. Mm-hmm. And that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, and we're a whosoever, every one of you out there in radio land, you're a whosoever. That whosoever believes in him, believes, there's the key, should not perish, but have everlasting life.
And there's that gracious living there.
Right, there's that grace word right there, isn't it?
Because it's not something we can do. It's something that God does for us.
I want to talk about grace, kind of the concept we were talking about this morning, what it really means, grace, and after this song. But listen to this, one of our favorite songs. And if you listen to our show much, you know that Casting Crowns is one of our favorite groups. We play a lot of their music. Listen to this one. It's an older one, but we love it. Listen to Our Hearts.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears. Words could not express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. Tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years, I would still run out of time. So if you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. And listen to our heart,
oh Lord, please listen,
hear our spirit sing. Song of praise that flows,
a song of praise
from those you have redeemed,
those you have redeemed.
And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our heart.
What a great song. Woo! We love that song, don't we? We got to do that again soon at worship time. Oh, go back to Matthew 6:6, everybody. Want to make a point here that's very important. Here's what I want you to do, Jesus said. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. So when we get to a place where we are spending quality, quiet time with Almighty God, and we really allow ourselves to just bask in his presence. And if you don't have the devotional Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. You need to go to the bookstore and buy yourself one. You can get them at Walmart, too. Excellent, about leading you into the presence of the Lord on a daily basis. Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. Great devotional. But Jesus is saying, spend time with your Father. Spend time with God Almighty. Spend time. And when you're sitting there, the focus begins to shift. Isn't that interesting? Because he's talking about getting our focus off of material possessions and our accomplishments and the craziness of our week and all of that, and getting them our focus on God. And it says when that happens, we begin to sense his grace. And I mentioned this morning that Graham Cook says, and I tend to agree with this, the older I get, really, PJ, and maybe you can kind of help shed light on that whole thing. We've defined grace for so long as God's unmerited favor. And, you know, Graham Cook says, wait a minute, it is rightfully ours, his favor, because we're his children.
But I need to back up a little bit. Because the only reason we're, it's a paradox, because we're his children because of his grace.
Right.
And we are graced because we're his children.
Right.
So it's kind of a circle there.
It is.
But praise God for it, because, you know, for by grace we are saved through faith.
Right.
And it's not of ourselves. It's nothing we did.
We don't do it.
God set his grace on us.
Amen.
In love.
Right.
And because of that, it's kind of the paradox. That makes us, we are his children by grace.
Right.
Therefore, we are graced continually. And I think some people have the idea that grace is something static.
Right.
You know, but grace isn't something static.
It's ongoing.
It's an ongoing thing. It's a growth sort of thing.
Right.
Paul, in his pastoral letters in Timothy and Titus, talks about, you know, the grace of God has appeared, teaching us,
right,
you know, training us to shy away from unrighteousness.
Right.
You know, it's something, it's not, I just think it's become one of those words that doesn't mean anything. You know,
exactly.
It's become a theological word. And I love theological words. Y'all know I love big old theological words. But sometimes we put it in a box, like we tend to put God in a box. We put grace in a box. It's not something static. It's obviously it's moving because it's a big old circle.
Right.
God set his grace on us and made us his children. Because we are his children, we are constantly being graced by God. We're constantly being given God's grace.
Oh, I agree. And I think Graham Cook's definition helps me understand anyway, that grace is his empowering presence. So it's him in us that gives us the power to overcome in a situation.
Right.
And I love the rest of this, his definition. I'm going to read it out of my Bible so I have it exactly right. His empowering presence, that is God's empowering presence, that allows us to rise up above all that we are not to become all that he is. So it gives us the ability to say the right thing when in our natural selves we wouldn't say the right thing, or to have a topic for discussion that comes because he's gracing us. He's gracing us right then, empowering us to hear his voice clearly, to lay hands on the sick and see them healed.
Right.
I love John 1:14, also one of my favorite verses.
And the Word became flesh.
And the Word became flesh.
And dwelt among us.
Yes.
And we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
Full
of grace and truth.
Full of grace and truth. So Jesus was full of grace and truth. And somebody has said this year around Beacon of Hope that this is the year of truth. And I believe that. This is the year of grace and truth. Okay, this is what God is doing. And we're learning to trust him. And we're learning that his word is true. Okay? And by accepting this, we are being graced. Go ahead.
Well, I got, again, this goes back to Christmas.
Woo, good stuff.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
Oh, what, that's
what
right.
What Gabriel said to her.
Sure.
The Greek word there is karitao, which is only used one other time in the New Testament. But I love this because, you know, it's normally translated full of grace.
Right.
It just means to be in a state of grace, to be graced. It's used, the only other time it's used is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Okay.
Yeah.
To the praise of his glorious grace.
Grace.
By which he has freely given us in the one he loves. By which he has graced us in the one he loved. Some say accepted us in the beloved.
Right.
But it's that same Greek word that was used for Mary, for Jesus'
right.
mother. But we're graced
we
in
are.
Him. We stand graced.
And we, it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing. We are being graced all the time.
Right.
So there are so many times that we don't know how to react in a situation. Or if we just handled that situation, we would really mess it up.
Ooh.
And so grace is his empowering presence.
To do
what we can't do on
right.
our own.
And to become more like him, which is
Amen.
The goal, you know.
That's it.
To have Paul says to have Christ formed in us.
Right.
So that we display to the world who Jesus is.
Amen. And because of that, when we start realizing, okay, wait a minute. I can't fix this mess. I don't know what to do about this situation I'm in. Then we go back and draw on his grace and mm-hmm. his truth. And I'll ask him for his empowering presence that will set us in a place where we handle it the way he would want us to handle
right.
it. When it causes us to rise up above our circumstances and be what we don't appear to be. And how could the time almost be out?
I know.
I don't know. We could go on and on about this grace stuff. But I love what Jesus says. Here's the key, people. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, when you take time to get yourself in a place where you can talk to God honestly and hear his voice, then the focus shifts from you to God, and you begin to sense his grace.
And that so fits in with what he says after, you know, don't
yes.
babble like the heathens.
Yes.
You know, it's being honest. Our prayers need to be honest
yes.
before God, and the best way to do that is just to get alone with
right.
God.
Right.
Okay, because it's hard to be honest with God in your prayers when you're praying in front of a big crowd, because either you might be intimidated
mm-hmm.
or you might be tempted to be pompous.
Right.
You know.
It's all about honesty.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being genuine. Now, so there's that third G that's coming out here. Being genuine, okay? Being genuine before God. Being genuine in our prayer life where we're not saying, oh, God, you know, I want you to bless me but not them. Or being mad and, oh, God, get them. Go get them, you know? You know, go for it, you know?
Or just going out and saying, bless me, you
right.
know?
Only me.
There's more of the Christian life than being blessed.
Right.
You know?
Right. So it's a matter of attitude, and Jesus is dealing with our attitudes in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And, of course, we all refer to the first few verses of Matthew 5, 1 through 10, as the Beatitudes, which I like that. Be, this is what your attitude should be. So, you know, Jesus is taking 5 and 6 and 7 here, and he is calling us out on some of these things. Being pretentious, putting worldly goods and accumulation of goods and money and whatever as a priority in our lives. He's really calling us on
right.
the carpet.
Well, and then back in chapter 5, he's talking about what goes on in the heart.
Yes.
Because some people thought they didn't sin because they didn't commit an actual sin.
Right.
I didn't murder anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jesus says, no, it's your heart. Where's
your heart
at?
Yeah.
I didn't commit adultery. Where's your heart at?
Yeah. Were you lusting? Were you, yes.
Yeah.
Or were you hating and wanting somebody dead, but yet you didn't kill them yourself?
Right. It's
your heart.
Right.
Where is your heart?
Yeah. So when God listens to our hearts, as Casting Crowns sang, that's how I want my heart to be. Listen to my heart, Lord. That's where my treasures, you know, my heart's with you. So.
Which brings me back to 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely
His. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time together in your word. And Lord, we just ask right now that if there is a person in the listening audience, whether live or later as they listen to the show on the website, that really needs a heart transplant
yes.
and needs you to just invade their space and change their priorities and their longings and everything about them, Lord. If there is such a person that listens to this show, let today be the decisive moment, the moment in time where you take a hold of their situation and change them into your likeness, where you truly save their soul, that they will come to you in repentance and asking you to change them, and they will surrender the lordship of their lives to you. Lord, you know who those people are. We ask that you speak to their hearts. If we can be a part of that salvation experience, then, Lord, have them contact us so that we can help them with that. But, Lord, we know that you have the ability to draw people to you, and we ask that you do that. Amen. We speak a blessing in the lives of our listeners. We ask that you heal their bodies for those that are weak and those that are sick and those that are frail in their minds. Lord, we ask that you shore them up with the strength of Almighty God, and that this day be a decision day for our listeners. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Woo! We welcome you to our services on Sunday morning at 10:30, which is powerful today.
Oh, boy.
Very powerful. Fair. God moved mightily. 10:30 Sunday mornings, Wednesday night Bible study at 7. Pastor Jim, can you kind of give a wrap-up of the points we've tried to cover? I mean, maybe we already have. I don't know, but...
Oh, my.
It's just there's been so much in this show today.
Yeah. We were kind of all over the place, it all fit.
It did.
As always.
Yes.
But I mean, Jesus is saying, be genuine.
Right.
You know, in your prayer life, in everything you do.
Right.
And trust in God. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be anxious.
Right.
You don't have to be fearful. Jesus says, trust God because he cares for you. He cares for each one of us. And that's, he loves us.
Oh, amen.
And like we mentioned kind of throughout, we need to hear that.
Yes.
I think we just need to understand God's not mad at us
right
anymore. The Father's not mad at us. That's why Jesus came.
Amen.
All we have to do is accept the reconciliation that's already taken place.
Amen. And, you know, be willing to change. I mean, you know, the old thing, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Yeah.
You know, that's so human nature, you know. Expect God to change your attitudes. Expect God to begin to work on those old idiosyncrasies that you kind of go, that's the way I've always been, ha ha. You know, expect God to work on that.
And you know what I was just thinking? The change doesn't have to be great at the beginning.
Right.
Because you think, in the long run of your life, if you're going in a straight line, and yet if you deviate by one degree, after time, that's going to be a tremendous change.
Right.
It may not look like much at the beginning, but you let God keep working, and there's going to be
a
tremendous change.
Woo, praise God. Great, great stuff. We're glad you joined us today. And go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We revamped it all last year. Our webmaster, Maxine, in Georgia does an excellent job. It's totally redone, and it's user-friendly. A lot of photos and bloopers and crazy things on there. But you can really get a picture. A new lady that walked in today said she got a real picture of the ministry through that website. So go there, beaconofhopeministries.com. We also welcome you to use our prayer line. It's manned by PJ and Carol, and that is prayers@bohmglobal.com. Send in your requests. We have a group of prayers that just want to be praying, so send them in. So that's going on. And our service time, Sunday morning at 10:30, worship, the ministry of the word, praying for needs. Powerful, powerful service again today. It never ceases to amaze me. God always shows up. He is always present. Great music. Okay. And
Wednesday night Bible study.
Go on.
We have prayer meeting starting about 6:15. And you pray some, you know, we pray the word out of the book, Prayers That Avail Much. And then 7:00, we have Bible study, interactive, bring a Bible, bring dinner.
If you want, because a lot of people come straight from work. Bring a notebook.
Take notes.
We fill up the board with notes, so you want to do that. You know what? It's not far to... to Jesus. It's not far to Jesus, no matter what you're going through. I love this song, our ending song. It's so wonderful. God bless you. This has been Pastor Marcia and Pastor Jim from Beacon of Hope Ministries saying God bless you. Have a great week. And if you Amen. Need us, we are so easy to find. Just email us. The easiest, quickest way for both of us. Mine is pastor@bohmglobal.com because I had that before he came on board. And he's Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. Phone number 813-417-3377. But really, it's easier to reach us by email. I got to tell you that. So, okay. So, God bless you. Hope to see you Wednesday night for Bible study. Come. We'd love to have you with us. 7 o'clock. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week live on this radio station. Have a good week.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.